I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Much of the news we Americans hear about Nigeria is about religious violence. In recent years, thousands of people have been killed there in the name of religion. Hundreds have already been killed just in 2014. But there are also glimmers of a peace movement. Charles Sennett of our partner Global Post recently met a remarkable pair of Nigerian religious figures at an interfaith meeting in the northern city of Kaduna.
The city of Kaduna and the state of Kaduna is really a microcosm for Nigeria as a whole, right? So Nigeria is the most populous nation in Africa. It's also the largest nation in the world to have a population that's approximately 50% Muslim and 50% Christian. That line of Muslims predominantly to the north, Christians predominantly to the south, is very sharp in the middle belt in Kaduna. You literally have the river Kaduna and a bridge that separates the north from the south. And you really literally have right there on the 10th parallel is the dividing line between these two faiths. And unfortunately, a great history of clashing of these faiths and a lot of violence. So Kaduna is both right at the heart of the conflict between Muslims and Christians in Nigeria. But interestingly, these days, it's also very much a place where there is a lot going on in terms of interfaith work and in terms of reconciliation.
So major tension and periodic flare-ups of violence between Christians and Muslims in Kaduna in northern Nigeria. Now, you meet this pastor and an imam who seem on the verge of coming together. Physically, they hadn't met. I want you to take us to that moment where they're actually in the same room and an intermediary kind of walks them together. What happens?
Well, the pastor and the imam are really these fundamentalists. They would use that word. They're fundamentalist leaders. Pastor James is a fundamentalist Christian, very much an evangelical church, very strong, Pat Robertson influenced, very much in that tradition. Imam Ashafa is very much a fundamentalist himself, very much influenced by the Salafists, very, very adamant, very militant.
And basically at a certain point in their lives, they're telling their congregants to kind of go after each other, right?
In the 90s, they led militias. As young men, they were leading these militias of militancy to say there is going to be a clash between Christians and Muslims and we need to defend our faith. And they even targeted each other.
Right. The imam had the pastor's hand cut off.
Yeah. So the imam set out his gang to attack the pastor and his gang. And in that clash, yes, you're exactly right. Pastor James' hand was severed by a machete and he now has a prosthesis. The imam was also the target of attacks. The pastor James had sent out his boys to go after the imam and his men. And they killed two of the imam's cousins, and they also killed his great mentor, an Islamic cleric who was a, you know, real mentor to the imam. So both men had suffered, as have so many people in Nigeria and so many people in this crystallized, very intense emotional fault line between Muslims and Christians in Kaduna. So they embodied that, but they also embodied the path towards reconciliation in that they began very long, slow story over many, many years about listening to messages about reconciliation, that you can't possibly be a good Muslim if you have hatred in your heart for anyone, especially Christians who are people of the book. And the Pastor James similarly came to a realization that he is not a Christian if he's holding hatred in his heart for brothers.
I want you to not lose us in that moment, though, where they meet and the intermediary says, yeah. What does he say? I got shivers on my spine when
yeah,
I heard this.
It's a beautiful scene, really, where they're both experiencing this conversion within themselves, but they don't trust it and there's no real grounding there yet. But a journalist who was with them, pulled together by the government to bring a lot of people together to address the violence, walked up to them quickly. He was a respected figure, and he said to both of them, you two alone can stop the violence here. You need to talk to each other. And he just walked away. And they were left in this silence, a distance of a few feet, as Pastor James put it, but miles and miles apart. And they began a discussion and a dialogue that eventually led to true reconciliation. And they are now a duo. They are now the pastor and the imam. They have a television show. They take their show on the road. They really have a spirit of brothers, and they have a deep past of conflict, and they've worked it out. And I think they've tried to hold themselves up as a model for what the country can do if it can get to that spirit of forgiveness, get into the messages of reconciliation within both faiths, and stop the violence. And I think they've been real leaders in this regard. It was thrilling to watch them in action.
And yet, as you well know, the violence in Nigeria continues. We had this incident about 10 days ago with these schoolboys in a dormitory who were massacred by some Boko Haram offshoot. Does the imam, for example, or any religious officials in Nigeria have the ear of groups like Boko Haram and its violent offshoots?
The imam does have the ear of some people who are affiliated with Boko Haram. Boko Haram is a very broad, ill-defined movement. It literally means Western education is blasphemy or a sin. That's why they're attacking schools. They're targeting schools that are seen as Western-influenced. So the imam wouldn't know kind of the leaders of Boko Haram, but he would know people who are inspired by some of its very hateful teachings. And he's tried to work very closely to, as he would put it, deprogram them. It's really about getting them to get closer to messages of reconciliation that are within their faiths. And we saw great and practical experiences that were very productive there.
A glimmer of light in a pretty grim situation in Nigeria, the pastor and the imam there. We have a video of the pastor and the imam talking about their attempts to kill each other as well as their reconciliation. That's at PRI.org. Charlie Sennett with our friends at Global Post. Thank you.
Thank you, Marco.